is what I want to read, beginning at verse 18. We're going to be thinking about the theme of being led by the Spirit, what it is to be led by the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Then also I want to read from Romans 8, verse 12. Romans 8, verse 12 to 14. "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And then also, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 25. "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Okay. And then one other scripture that isn't mentioned in the bulletin there, but it's from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and all their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of a temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' And when the devil had ended every temptation, He departed from him until an opportune time. We're going to consider the theme of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Penny and I want to say, it is a joy to be here with you this evening and to interact. We returned from Papua New Guinea about 3 weeks ago. We've been staying up in the Sacramento area. But it's wonderful to be here worshiping with you this morning, this evening. We have a wedding to attend in Fresno here on Tuesday before we head back to Michigan. Having come back from Papua New Guinea just recently, we struggle a little bit with jet lag, so you know, if anything that I say here this evening sounds incoherent, it's not that I'm intoxicated or anything like that. It's just jet lag, so not to worry. But it's always great being back here in the USA, and we can enjoy high-quality food like Pizza Hut pizza and Dunkin' Donuts. I recall one young man in the USA saying to me, "I'm looking forward to heaven where donuts will have the nutrition of broccoli and broccoli will have the nutrition of donuts." We are grateful for God in his wonderful grace and his mercy has given to us the greatest gift of all. The gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. As Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." The gift of Jesus Christ. Far and away, the greatest gift that's ever been given to this planet is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. No greater gift has ever been given. God in his wonderful mercy has given other gifts along with Jesus Christ, the most significant of which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for each one of us as we live out the Christian life. And so God's challenge to us is to be filled with the Spirit. To be renewed by the Spirit, to be strengthened by the Spirit, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we need to be filled with the Spirit is because there's leakage. We get tired. We get worn out. We get burned out. We get tired of serving, tired of loving other people, tired of ministering to other people who don't seem to be appreciating us very much. It happens to us missionaries as well as anybody else, maybe more so. I can tell you that for myself, more so than my spouse, I can get very tired of serving in Papua New Guinea, even though we have seen a terrific response. There's way too many potholes in the roads. In early March of this year, Penny and I took a taxi, PMV taxi-type vehicle from Ambunti down to Pagway. That was a canoe trip for about 1 hour, and then Pagway up to Hayfield, and then from Hayfield to Wewak was 3 hours of pothole-filled roads. And in the 20 years that we have served in Papua New Guinea, we've never had to do that road because it's always been an MAF flight from Wewak to Ambunti or from Ambunti to Wewak. But this year, MAF didn't have enough pilots and there was problem with the grass airstrip in Ambunti that it hadn't been cut in quite a while, And so, yeah, it was a real challenge this year, driving on that road filled with potholes. And so, yes, I do. I get tired of serving in Papua New Guinea at times. And there are electrical outages, sometimes for a few hours at a time, sometimes for a few days at a time. And that gets real old, real quick. In the Luke 4 scripture, it says about Jesus that he was full of the Holy Spirit, and then that he was led by the Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And yes, our Lord Jesus, he was led by the Spirit to be tempted. He was led to be tested by the devil. His faith needed to be tested. And so that was one of the challenges that was before our Lord Jesus. And Jesus himself said to his disciples that we need the Holy Spirit, and that all we have to do is to ask. Luke 11, verse 13, if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, that's a pretty good deal. All you have to do is ask, and the Lord God will give you the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most valuable gifts on the planet. All you have to do is ask, and God will give it to you. If you as fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, as a father, I know how to give good gifts to my children. Back when they were in high school, if they asked for help in their homework, I would give it to them. Assuming that the math or the science problem wasn't beyond my ability. And today, if my daughter asks for a loan to buy a vehicle, I provide that for her. And so, yes, we as fathers, even though we are fallen and far from perfect, we know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more? And we're talking an exponential difference. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? 100 times more, 1,000 times more. He's God, the Lord God is ready to pour out his Holy Spirit so that we can be filled by the Spirit. Because after all, we're his children. He loves us. All we have to do is ask. No hoops to jump through. No 8-step complicated process to jump through. Just ask, and the Heavenly Father will generously give you the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, Paul describes for us what that Spirit-filled life looks like. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts, always giving thanks to God the Father. Now, I'd like to unpack that. First, he says, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week. When I'm back in the USA and I'm driving along on the interstate, I love to just throw my head back and sing praise to God with all my heart. Just let her rip. And And then I look down at the speedometer and it says 85, and I say, whoa, I better back off here. Christian music ministers to our spirit. It makes our spirits soar. It gives us strength. It gives us encouragement. It helps us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. My dentist in Kalamazoo has said, I love going in the basement of my house and just singing at the top of my voice, just singing songs of praise to God. Well, that really encouraged me to hear that from my dentist. And did you notice that it says singing and making music in your hearts? This is not a surfacey kind of a thing, not just mouthing the words of a song. It's singing from the heart, from deep inside the core of our being. We're making melody. We're enjoying offering up praise to God. Be filled with the spirits, with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. That's another characteristic of being filled with the Spirit. Always giving thanks to God the Father. Every day we're giving thanks. It needs to be a pattern in our lives. Why? Because giving thanks to God the Father helps to foster a positive outlook on life. It helps to stay healthy spiritually. Sometimes things go in a way that we don't like them to go, and we get frustrated. Maybe here recently you've experienced a major financial setback, and you're saying, God, why do you allow this kind of a thing to happen? Here I am. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to live the Christian life, and all of a sudden I'm facing this big setback, and I'm trying to do what's right, and now this happens to me. Why, God? And sometimes we don't get an answer right away. But we have to believe that through it all, God has His purposes. Behind every circumstance, behind every disappointment, behind every setback, is a sovereign God. A sovereign God who loves us and who's in the process of shaping us into the kind of persons He wants us to be. And so when we go through what we perceive to be negative circumstances, God is calling us to be thankful. Always giving thanks to God the Father. It's very important for each of us believers to be led by the Spirit. The Romans 8 scripture talks about the priority of being led by the Spirit. It says that we who are led by the Spirit are children of God. And the Galatians 5 scripture also speaks about being led by the Spirit. That's a very important dimension of the Christian life. Now, how does it happen that we are led by the Spirit? I admit, I've never heard an audible voice from God, and I don't think that that's necessary to be led by the Holy Spirit, but there is such a thing as the prompting of the Spirit. John Calvin spoke about the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. Through the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we are able to sense what God wants. The Holy Spirit helps us to sense what's on God's heart. And very much tied in is this thing of listening prayer. In our daily devotions, we need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. And then we need to make application, think, say, and do whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants. Henry Blackaby is very good on this. Blackaby challenges us to always be alert as to what God is doing in our lives, 7 days a week. How God is working around us. He said that God is always at work around us. And because of that, we need to be alert as to what he's doing and then to join him in what he is doing. Yes, Penny and I, when we're here back in the USA, we enjoy connecting with supporters. We enjoy connecting with supporting churches such as this one. But we need to think about, give thought to which supporters to connect with when and which churches to contact. Then when we're in PNG, the challenge is to listen to the voice of the Spirit as to what we should be doing, what book to be writing, when to do a pastor's course, where to do a pastor's course. Should we do one or two or three different pastor's courses? These pastors, they pour out their lives serving as pastors of remote churches. They do not get paid at all for their labor of love, but they love what they're doing, and they love coming to Ambundi for a one-week pastor's course. One thing Henry Blackaby is big on is journaling. Yes, writing in a journal. His emphasis is that journaling helps us to recognize what God is doing. As you write in the journal, whether it's on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, but to think about, ponder what it is that God has been doing in the last 7 days. On one occasion, I was listening to Henry Blackaby speak. There were some 300 of us pastors there. This was back 25 years ago when I was pastoring in DeMott, Indiana. Blackaby said this, "If you don't journal, never ask God to speak to you again." And I thought, wow, that's quite a statement, Henry Blackaby. And about a year or two later, I had opportunity to listen to Blackaby again, this time in a much smaller venue. And so after one of the sessions during the coffee break time, I asked him in private about that strong statement that he had made a couple of years earlier about journaling. And he didn't back down at all on what he said. He says, "Not only is it important to journal on a regular basis, but it is important to read back entries in your journal of 6 months ago." Is the figure that he used a year ago. Because what happens is that we often forget what it is that the Lord has spoken to us about. And personally, I found that to be very helpful because back then I wasn't reading back entries in my journal, but now I am. The Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to lead us. All that's needed are Christians willing to be led. God's way is that we daily seek the leading of the Spirit in the matters that are before us. It's a daily discipline. All of us can learn how to be listeners. All of us can learn how to sense the leading of the Spirit. I have mixed feelings, actually, about working in Papua New Guinea. Sometimes I get tired of serving in PNG, like I said earlier. Sometimes there are those occasions when I love serving in PNG. I love it when the Papua New Guinean pastors gather in Ambunti. Sometimes it's 40 or 50 pastors like we had in the course that we did just a few weeks ago. Sometimes we've had as many as 100 pastors. And they're so hungry to learn. And I love it when the books that I've written are being used in government high schools for CRE, Christian Religious Education, because high schoolers in Papua New Guinea are very keenly interested in learning what the Word of God says. Sometimes it happens, you know, that I say to the pastors in Ambunti, how many of us have beaten our wives? And they put up their hands and, well, I don't want to look. Because a good 2/3 of them have raised their hands. Now, could have been 10 years since they had last beaten their wives. But I tell them, you pastors, you need to preach on domestic violence, because the Word of God has got something to say to it. The Word of God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And what a great opportunity it is that some 70,000 books have been distributed in Papua New Guinea now in the high schools. And what happens in the high schools is that the principal of the high school will, there might be 1,000 students in the high school, the principal will find a pastor who knows English well enough to teach some of these topics, like domestic violence. And what a great opportunity for the young men in Papua New Guinea who are going to grade 10, grade 11, grade 12 in high school to learn what it is to love their wives as Christ loved the church before they get married, before they start beating their wives. Because what often happens is that in the village in particular, I tell these pastors, you got to be preaching on this stuff because you know that it's happening in your congregations. Because what often happens is that husband will beat the wife because, you know, she hasn't prepared the food properly or she hasn't worked in the garden. All right, and that's reason enough for husband to beat the wife in Papua New Guinea. We're thankful, though, that there is such a terrific response, that high schoolers are interested, that pastors are keenly interested in coming to a one-week pastor's course, because there's no other opportunities for them to be ministered to. The Lord is working in Papua New Guinea in a big way. Not only in PNG, but in other countries around the world as well. In Latin America, 10,000 people a day are coming to Christ. Philip Jenkins says in his book, The Next Christendom, he says that in Africa, 23,000 people a day are coming to Christ. Leith Anderson says in his book, Leadership That Works, that in China alone, 28,000 people a day are coming to Christ. Those are huge numbers. The Lord is at work in a big way. And guess what? Penny and I have the great privilege, the high honor of being missionaries during this time of phenomenal harvest with a terrific response in Papua New Guinea. The Holy Spirit is working powerfully in many places on the planet. It's stunning. It's mind-boggling. Being led by the Spirit is a skill that can be learned. It's not that difficult. All we have to do is pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us, and He will show us what to think, say, or do. I want to encourage all of us to discern the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes it happens that we just run through our prayers rather quickly, and we don't take time to discern the leading of the Spirit in our lives. It's good if, in the context of our prayer time each day, we take some time to be silent before the Lord and to listen to what the Spirit may be saying. In this coming week, I want to encourage all of us to conduct an experiment. In the coming week, when you interact with someone, ask yourself, how should I respond to this person? Ask the Holy Spirit, how should I interact with this person? Holy Spirit, what is it that you would have me say? What is it that you would have me do? And also included in the experiment is take some time every morning to listen to what the Holy Spirit might be saying. I think you will find it very rewarding. Galatians 5 says, keep in step with the Spirit. And the idea there is that the Spirit is out in front of us at work. He's doing something. And that we need to sense what He is doing and get in alignment with what He is doing, work in harmony with what He is doing, not going off and doing our own thing, but staying attuned to the Spirit. It's an exciting thing to be led by the Spirit. It's an adventure to be led by the Spirit. Much of the adventure in the Christian life is this thing of being led by the Spirit. Sometimes we have the wrong perspective on prayer. Sometimes we limit our view of prayer as a time to present to God our needs and our requests. However, part of the purpose of prayer is for us to grow spiritually. Part of the purpose for us is to start developing this sense in which we become attuned to the leading of the Spirit. Because after time spent in prayer, we're in a mode in which we're more alert as to how the Spirit has been working. Sometimes the Spirit leads us during a time of prayer. And once we sense the leading of the Spirit, it's important for us to act upon it. Henry Blackaby again says, some of the invitations that God gives to serve Him come with a limited window of opportunity. He says, some opportunities, if not accepted immediately, will be lost forever. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes the Spirit is prompting us to say something or do something at a given moment in time, and we don't act upon that prompting, and later on we realize, wow, I missed a wonderful opportunity. I want to refer to James 1, verse 19. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Yes, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak. We live in a world today, and I've seen this often enough when I've served as pastor in the USA and in various places, that just the opposite is being done. People are thinking, the way to win in my interaction with my spouse or with a friend or someone else I know is to be quick to speak and slow to listen. We think that if we speak more than the other person does, we initiate the speaking and we somehow dominate the conversation and have the final word, that we win. That's not what the scripture teaches in James 1. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Remember one of my pastor friends when I was working in the DeMott area. I had an anticipated meeting I was going to have with someone in my church, and I talked to him about it. He was pastoring another church in the DeMott area, and he said, you don't have to do most of the speaking to have the most influence. You can let the other person do most of the speaking. And that was a great insight for me. I appreciated very much what Pastor Zeidema said at that point in time. So yes, may we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, says Paul, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to God, always giving thanks to God the Father. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. It will be a source of great joy and great adventure. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father God, that you love us. Thank you that you have